A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Pro Wrestling Show in association with TalkSport. We are but a week and a half away from the Showcase of the Immortals. WrestleMania season is well and truly in the swing. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the upcoming G1 Supercard, the end of the New Japan Cup Finals, which of course were absolutely superb. And an absolutely stellar guest for you. You may have known her as Victoria. You may have known her as Tara. We now know her as Lisa Marie Veyron, a brilliant former WWE, former Impact Women's Champion, joins us on the line. And we break down everything this week from WWE TV. Let's all take a deep breath. I know some of us are angry right now, but we will figure this out and everything will be fine. We promise. This is the Pro Wrestling Show. Now, apparently on the Pro Wrestling Show, we have... We've gone full on Freebirds rule at this point, because we have the tag titles between us. In the last 3 weeks, we've had John and Al defend them, and then me and John last week, and now no John this week. He's off on holiday, so it's me and Al for you this week. Will we ever, the three of us, be on a show together again, Al?
I really don't know. After my two-week sabbatical, I feel delighted to return to the fold, but... Yeah, there always seems to be something going on at the moment, doesn't there? I mean, I've got to tell you, I'm hanging by the skin of my teeth health-wise at the moment. I've got a filthy cold, but I couldn't resist the temptation to come on and talk wrestling with my guy.
I saw the Wean not too well as well, so something going around the Mac family, you know.
A little bit. My daughter had tonsillitis, so I couldn't even play football Sunday, which... It sounds the most selfish thing in the world, but my missus was like, well, can you take her to the hospital? And I was like, I could, but you could. And I could play football. But as any man listening to this podcast will know, I lost that battle.
So, went down like a lead balloon. We should break some news as well. If anyone's listening to this on Wednesday evening when it comes out, we could probably stick the interview on the end of the podcast, to be honest, but maybe we'll just put it in next week's show. The brilliant Ali McCoist is interviewing the equally brilliant Drew McIntyre. It's going to get so Scottish on the Alan Brazil Sports Breakfast tomorrow morning with Ali covering for Big Al.
Alan Brazil wasn't there.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
I actually don't know. Is Drew a Glasgow boy?
Yes, from... So the genesis of this, I was contacted by the WWE, and it's Drew that's a big fanboy for Ali McCoist. Would you believe?
That's right? Amazing.
Isn't it? And so basically he said in an interview last year that he'd met Kanye West, he'd met all these different people, but he really, really wanted to meet Ali McCoist. And Ali McCoist caught wind of this and reached out to him. And then through some intermediaries, it's happening. You know, Drew's coming on the breakfast show tomorrow morning. And then the plan is to get Ali to the O2 in May when they do the UK tour.
Oh, we will be there. We will film that. We will make it with the air. We can be all over that one.
1,000%.
Absolutely. John's actually off to the next NXT UK tapings. We're up in Glasgow, and he's heading up there for at least the Friday. Going to go do some interviews, etc. He's missing Mania weekend. I fly out in 8 days' time. In fact, around about now, as we're recording, Al, I'll be touching down at JFK, ready for the weekend. I've had all the tickets have all been confirmed. Oh. We've got all sorts of interviews booked in. It's going to be a really brilliant few days. This is... So, one thing that is interesting is WrestleCon, which is one of the big events that goes on over the weekend, which is basically Hilton Midtown, they don't do press passes. So we'd have had to have bought passes for the day, and then they get funny of you doing interviews and stuff. It's all a bit messy.
I found that last year. I think I said this to you the other week. I attempted to do the same thing in New Orleans, and they are very, very weird about, and it's annoying, because if you go on YouTube and you type in these WrestleCons, people clearly do it there. But it's like annoying if you say up front, oh yeah, can we come and do this? They're like, well, they get a bit shady.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's been what they've been like. But so Lisa Marie Veron, who we've got on the show this week, and Vicky Guerrero, who we had on last week, as
great
well as
friend of the show, Vicky Guerrero. Introduce her properly.
I mean, 100%. Great friend of the show. And also Mickey James, who we had on when we were at the Super Bowl. All three of those come through the same PR company, and they are trying to sort out that if we can't get into WrestleCon, they're trying to sort us out some sneaky passes. But if we can't get into WrestleCon, they're going to sort out for us to go there one evening, essentially to go and have drinks with them and maybe film something while we're there. And I'm like, I mean, can we just go for drinks with them and forget?
Why are you saying this to me when you know that I can't come to WrestleMania? Why do you say these things? And you know what's even worse is that I have the tickets. I have all the things that Will has, but I also have kids.
Oh, well.
That I cannot shift.
Your own mistake, mate.
Yeah, I've made my own bed. But my missus is already away on a hen do, and believe it or not, I can't go to WrestleMania, despite having all tickets and all of that sorted out. So, but on that note, Will did do three fantastic interviews of all of those aforementioned ladies that you should check out if you haven't. So no wonder they're giving you the red carpet, my friend.
No, you know, only the best or something like that. I'm going to be honest, because this week I had jury duty last week, as we were talking about on the podcast.
Wow.
I've only been able to, wrestling-wise, I've not been able to follow much from around the indies. And thank you to those of us who have tweeted us and given us some love and sent us some stuff from the stuff they've been off doing. But we've not been able to cover a huge amount of indie stuff this week. We have reached out. We're looking to get David Starr on the show after that amazing promo he cut on Twitter last week that we talked about. And actually, somebody who you should be following on Twitter if you're not already, and all other social medias, is James Musselwhite at Y2JimBob, who is a photographer and videographer who does a lot of stuff with ICW, Rev Pro, Progress. Like, he is the main man when it comes to putting anything on film or whatever in the UK. And I didn't realise this. I knew that he'd done the David Starr promo because he reached out and told me about it. But he also's done all those really great Spike Treve promos, the really good Jimmy Havoc ones recently, all the Jack Sexsmith stuff that he's been doing, the Ginny stuff that she's been doing. So all this like really brilliant, like this sudden big uptick in the quality of social media stuff from British wrestlers that's been happening in the last 6 months. This guy is a big part of it. So we're going to be getting him on the show post-Mania. He's going to come in studio and do like a bit more of an extended chat about putting these kind of things together and who he sees up and coming. And so that's really cool. So you should go and check that out. But that is all the UK indie we're probably going to touch on this week, unfortunately. I'm excited for the NXT UK stuff at Mania, particularly excited for Walter against Pete Dunne. That has the potential at TakeOver to be just an absolute barnstormer.
Show stealer, potentially.
Yeah, 100%. But otherwise, we're going to take a little break from talking too much British wrestling this week. Don't worry, we will be back and in full force. It will come. Don't you worry about that at all. It's actually Bread Knife this weekend, Progress on Sunday afternoon, Chapter 87. They've got a really, David Starr's there against Connor Mills, got CCK against LAX, who are coming over and doing some stuff. Casey Samuels is here as well. Nina Samuels is facing Casey Owens, who's over at the moment. And Angelico against TK Cooper. It's a really good card this weekend. So we'll be there on Sunday afternoon if anyone wants to come and say hello. And we'll talk about that a bit on next week's show. Should we get straight into the WWE meat and potatoes?
I think we don't have a choice, my friend. There's been a lot going down this week. First of all, we drink in Monday, where the announcement was made that Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and indeed Ronda Rousey would headline WrestleMania, as many had anticipated. But still, the fact that they felt the need to mention that ahead of time was very cool. And I think the right decision, more than that, I think the time is right for that historic event. And it's just a nice combination of factors with Becky Lynch's rising star power, Ronda Rousey's mainstream appeal that has crossed over so well. And then, of course, the Charlotte Flair X factor, who never, ever fails to perform under the bright lights, which we saw again last night, for that matter. But, yeah, I mean, and that kind of set the tone for Monday. I don't know about you, Will. I wasn't crazy about the whole beat the clock notion. The whole premise seemed flawed from the get-go, really, because they weren't competing for anything other than, what, bragging rights? Which seem a little counterintuitive when they're competing under a minute each against both, you know, all of the Riot Squad. And it's really not very, you know, it's not great for the Riot Squad, frankly.
Yeah, they've done these squash matches with the likes of Nia Jax, with the likes of Braun Strowman when they were building him up, where they've used like a local indie wrestler, you know, Jimmy and Johnny Boots wrestler kind of thing. I don't understand why they couldn't have done something like that, why they had to bury the Riot Squad like this. And then next week announce that the three of them, in classic fashion, when you've got a triple threat going on, well, let's make them team together next week.
Yeah.
But they've not really set up why they should be doing that. There was no brawl this week. There was no... This is traditionally something that happens a couple of weeks in advance, if you know what I mean.
Not the go-home, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, go-home, you tend to get the contract signing, the promos, and I will say the promos on TV the last few days have been generally excellent. A lot of people got annoyed with this element on Raw, and I was kind of like, it's fine. It's not great, but it's fine. I got a lot more annoyed about SmackDown and what happened on Tuesday night for innumerate reasons, not just because, great, we've made history, first women to ever headline WrestleMania. So what are the other women doing on the card? Mm-hmm. Well, we've got the tag championships, which involves a fatal four-way with two people who can't wrestle in one team, but they're big, so that's good. And another team which involves someone who hasn't been in the ring for outside of a one-off Royal Rumble appearance for 7 years. Although, to be fair, Beth Phoenix looks better than either Tamina or Nia Jax.
I was just about to say that's not disparaging Beth Phoenix, because she is a hell of a talent, and she looks in magnificent shape. But
she does, but ring rust is a thing. Like, you do see it when people come back, and not just when they come back because they're old and slower, like the old Kurt Angle retirement tour we've got going on at the moment. But actually, when people come back and they're still in good shape, if they've not been away doing, you know, if it's not like, say, Lisa Marie, we've got on this show and we talked to her about whether a return to WWE is a possibility, because she's on her retirement tour this year. But she's kept herself in the game, and she spends time putting over young up-and-coming indie wrestlers. That's what she faced Jordan Grace for the Women's Championship a couple of weeks ago, for the Progress Women's Championship out in the States, and put her over then. And you're like, so if somebody like that comes back, then you'd expect they'd still be able to work, because they've been working. But there's nothing wrong with Beth Phoenix looking a yard off the pace, because she's not been wrestling for the last 7 years, basically.
I mean, and that's further to that point, I remember Evolution. I remember thinking, wow, like even the Royal Rumble. But wow, Trish Stratus looks great. Thinking how she looks like she's keeping pace with everyone. And conversely, I thought, and I really hate to say it, and I was like, oh, Alita looks terrible. I was like, she looked like, and I don't mean she looks terrible aesthetically. I was just like, oh, she looks a bit off the pace. Do you know what I mean? And the timing was all out. And that can happen. And honestly speaking, yes, Beth Phoenix delivered her finisher to Tamina on Monday, but that's really not an indicator of much. Like, there's a whole match to carry. Yes, there's 8 women involved, but, you know, it's one of them. Are they bringing her back in? Is it to mask, you know, putting her in a tag team? Because really, you wouldn't bring, and I say this with total respect, you wouldn't bring Beth Phoenix back for a one-on-one shot with Nia Jax, let's say, would you?
No.
On a Mania card.
No, of course.
So, you know, it's like, have they said, okay, you know, it's cool, it gives Natalya a natural partner. And I just don't know. It seems like they didn't want to put any other effort into making more women matches. So they went, well, here's one way we can use 8 women in a match.
And here's the thing, like, you saw the reaction after the SmackDown Women's Title match last night, and we are getting there, I promise, from the other women involved on social media. And I know the way WWE's using social media nowadays is like they're being a bit more clever about it, but I think that there seemed to be genuine disappointment from those involved that they had that opportunity kind of taken away from them. But because I don't know if there's going to be a women's battle royal, because nothing's been announced for it and we are less than 2 weeks away. If there's not, women are going to feature in 2 out of 13 matches. Great that they're headlining, but we could have, like, putting the title on Charlotte has led to there being a disparity in the number of matches they're in, even if they are headlining, which I am a little disappointed about.
Well, you know what bugs me about that the most is, I remember when I was mapping out the card, you know, predicting it per se around Christmas, and we all thought that the place to go was Lynch and Rousey. And then it's like, okay, what do you do with Charlotte? And there'd been reports that she had already been promised the main event slot and that Vince was going to crowbar her in any way that he could. And obviously that's turned out to be the case. But when you see the match with her and Asuka last night, for a TV match, mind you, why couldn't we get them a second time at Mania for the women's title on SmackDown?
Like, I mean, I was legitimately livid that, not that she won the title, which I was annoyed about because of the way that it buries Asuka and the way she's been treated basically since losing her streak at Mania last year. To tap out Becky Lynch at the Rumble and have that be a big deal and then just do nothing with her for 3 months has been...
She's been given no chance to succeed since that.
No.
Literally none.
And with something like WWE, there's three things that you need to get over. You need talent, you need to be hardworking, and you need opportunity. And there are a lot of people that we all love and we think are talented and hardworking but don't get the opportunity. And it then gets frustrated when you get people like the aforementioned tag team who are hardworking and have the opportunity but maybe not the talent. You know, Asuka has the talent and the hard work. She's clearly a brilliant worker, but just the way she's been booked since winning that title is nothing short of a disgrace. And, we can all feel how we feel about Charlotte taking the title in. I think we knew that she was going to win that match the moment that Becky Lynch said, you know, what's Charlotte bringing to the table? I'm bringing the people. Ronda's bringing the title. What's she bringing, kind of thing? We've gone a bit back and forth on this on Twitter, but looking forward to Mania, we've now got this triple threat as the main event. Is it? You don't think it's going to be for both titles? You think that there's going to be some kind of gimmick with it?
No, I don't necessarily think it won't be for both titles. I'm just speculating on what they might do, because they've already promoted that this superstar shakeup's going to happen a week after Mania. What sense does it make to unify the titles and have one champion across both brands? I really don't understand that. I know they did it for a while. Like, anytime they've done it for a while in the past, like the original brand extension, we've talked about this on previous shows with Jazz and Triple H in 2002, it doesn't last because it just doesn't work. Like, you can't have two rivals at once constantly on both shows. Do you know what I mean? So it seems counterproductive, but I've seen, you know, and other times down the years in matches, I mean, one that just springs to mind is the two-man power trip versus Undertaker and Kane. I don't know why that's in my mind, from 2001. And it was like, I think Triple H was the Intercontinental and Austin was the WWE and Kane and the Undertaker were the tag team champions. And then it was like, whoever got the pin on whoever was the champion won those belts. So it turned out Austin and Triple H won the tag titles. But if Kane had beat Triple H, it would have been IC. You get the drift. And I think that could be the case here, where both titles are just kind of on the line. And it adds another element of, maybe they'll protect Rousey and maybe Lynch will beat Flair. And, you know, is Rousey really leaving? Like, to us, the educated fan, it seems that Rousey's last booked appearance is the Monday after WrestleMania. She's not advertised in any arenas post that. So it screams that, yes, she is going to lose at Mania and go off, and you would assume that Lynch is going to be the champion. But then what happens if Charlotte wins? Then technically she is unifying the belts and she'd be on both shows. So, you know, it's just one of them where WWE, I think, are trying to expand their options and not make it look like an obvious winner.
Now, what they haven't done is they haven't... what they have done in recent weeks is there's been a real blending, and I'm intrigued because we've got the shakeup coming. like whether this has been the build up to the shake up, because they're going to be moving a lot of these people around. They've been allowing the rules to bend. I mean, when Samoa Joe turns up to face Kurt Angle on Raw, and then they're doing the same with Rey Mysterio next week. That's bizarre that they are just having the women go across the two is fine, because the women are from, they represent the two different brands, and that match is such a big deal that I kind of get it. But they are doing it a lot at the moment. It's not just
Lynch should be allowed to come across anyway, because when you're the Royal Rumble winner, if you're challenging that champion, you're allowed to go to that brand. So that kind of makes sense. But I hear what you're saying in terms of Kurt Angle, and I found it so, you know, that they didn't even really try and explain anything. You just got an offhand comment from Kurt Angle in his pre-match interview where he said, "I want to thank Samoa Joe for coming over from SmackDown," and that was literally it. It was like, oh, okay, well, what's really the divide anymore?
Yeah, the fact is that with that blending, it does lead to the question of, are they going to do a unified belt? Are they going to do a... I know Chris Jericho didn't get to do much with those belts, but are we going to get that moment where it's lifting up the two belts for the first time and a first unified champion?
Yeah.
I know you put forward this idea of, like, you win the belt that you pin the champion of, and that way you can get the moment of Becky Lynch beats Rousey, she's Raw Women's Champion, Charlotte SmackDown Women's Champion, Bayley and Sasha are tag champions. You have the four original horsewomen with their four titles, and it's a great visual. It's a great moment. It doesn't make storyline sense to me if you, at the end of the show, have the four of them there holding up their titles, unless we get a full-on Charlotte face turn, because this has been 8 months of build of them supposedly hating each other backwards and forwards. I really don't like the idea that she's going to get beaten without even getting beaten herself, without even getting beaten clean, and then she's suddenly going to be like, oh yeah, fair play, respect. It doesn't make sense to me with the character they're building with Charlotte, and the way she just flip-flops back and forwards is so frustrating.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you as well, because I actually thought Charlotte was getting into her groove as a babyface before she made this turn. And don't get me wrong, I love bitch Charlotte. She's great. Like, that was a first real natural fit in the WWE. But, you know, when we're talking about this WrestleMania moment, and whether it happens or not, I really don't know. But, you know, the WWE has a penchant for these kind of things, and it seems like the stars are aligning. If Becky climbs the mountaintop and beats Randy, a multitude of things could happen. For all we know, there could be a massive twist with Charlotte helping Becky. You know, I don't think that's going to happen, but what I'm saying is they can set up a multitude of ways that the four of them at the end can be happy with what's happened. If Charlotte isn't involved in the finish, and let's just say that Lynch taps out Rousey, which is what I hope happens, then, you know, really she's lost nothing, and I still think they could come together. And it could be like, look where we are in the main event, all four of us, we made it, the pinnacle of our careers, look at us now kind of thing. You know, because we talk about flip-flopping characters, and it, as much as it bugs me and kayfabe and all that stuff, look at Evolution, you know, they had the last women standing match, and then backstage there's four horse women photos, you know, put on social media, and they was at the Hall of Fame together, and you know that, you know, and I think even but Sasha and Bayley were feuding at that time, and it's like it's one of those things that could always be put to the side. And you got to remember, at WrestleMania, I want to say 18, is it, when's Rock Hogan 18, that, you know, Hogan supposedly killed The Rock in the lead up to that, with, you know, driving a semi into an ambulance and all of this stuff. And it was the most brutal feud. And then out of nowhere, they're, you know, hugging and all of this stuff at Mania, because, you know, they've earned respect. And things can twist on a dime if WWE want them to. And I really think that they want that four horsewomen moment at some stage. But whether it will happen or not, I mean, it's up for debate. But you look at how it could happen, and I could see it, but you know, it wouldn't be the first time that they forego logic, would it?
No, it definitely wouldn't. I just, it would frustrate me if we get that moment out of nowhere, considering how good the build has generally been. I still think that in classic WWE fashion, they've they've gone too early on something, and we've ended up with a couple of weeks of filler in the middle. But does it make does it make me any less excited for the match itself? No, but I just, you know, I still feel like you were talking, when we were talking about this earlier, you were talking about how there was that moment where Becky chose Charlotte to face Rousey, and that kind of teases towards maybe this idea. But to me, that made storyline sense, because it's that whole idea of the better the devil you know, or like, you know, the enemy of your enemy is your friend. And even though in that moment, they shook hands, they hugged, I can't even really remember the moment itself, but even though they had that moment, it was clear that it was about, that was about respect rather than actually like liking each other. And it was about, you know, I'm going to put you forward because I think you've got the best chance to beat her. That doesn't mean I like you anymore. That makes sense to me in my head. Wrestling is... I'm just going to, like, we all know, if you're listening to this, that wrestling is a big old soap opera, and that's what we love about it. We love the drama, and we love the occasion, we love the pomp and circumstance, we love all of that stuff. I just want things to make sense, as if they, like, people were human beings. And I know we joke about this week in, week out, like some of the Vinnie Mac booking can be all over the shop, and he seems to forget who won last week some weeks, and God, don't even get me started on what they're doing with the Raw tag titles at the moment. But I just make it make sense to me. If it makes sense to me on the night, I will pop for it, but I will be a bit frustrated if they just have that moment for the sake of the moment. And then they have to clean it up the next night.
Yeah, I mean, I do hear you. I mean, like I said earlier, I think it could maybe lead into Rousey and the MMA Four Horsewomen attacking them the next night, or at, you know, probably not at Mania, but then let's say in Rousey's last appearance. So that when she goes away, and by the time she gets back, that's a ready-made feud and match to happen. You know, and of course, the other members of the Four Horsewomen MMA will be more equipped to hold their end in that feud as well at that time. But you know, going back to what you said in terms of respect, I feel like that could apply. You know, after they do battle in the main event, such a historic thing, I feel like that they would give that nod to each other, Charlotte and Becky. To me, the way Becky's character was going at the time of Survivor Series when she picked Rousey, I get it, like you said, the why she would pick her and the best chance and respect and all of that stuff. It didn't need the hug. Do you know what I mean? I felt that way at the time, and I feel that way now, because Lynch's character was so anti that kind of thing. It just felt so, and I know, like, kind of Twitter felt the same way at the time. It just felt so out of place. Like, would Lynch do that? But again, you know, it's multifaceted and multi-layered. So I guess you can make an argument for any outcome and say, oh, you know, but it would be this and this is them. And, you know, there's so many different ways you can go about that. At the end of the day, I think it will end with Becky reigning supreme, and I'd be surprised if the WWE didn't capitalize on an opportunity to make it a powerful visual for women at the end.
So let's talk about the other, like, I think there's a lot of other stuff going on with the Mania build that we'll get to. We'll do a big preview show next week, like a no guest show. I guess we'll do a no guest show early in the week with John and with Al, and then me and myself and Sammy, producer Sam, who's coming out with me, we'll be doing all the interviews and stuff on the Friday. So anything that's kind of Mania specific, we'll put out a show with some of those interviews, and we'll hold back some of the stuff we can hold back, etc., till after Mania. Plus, we're going to be doing some stuff. Ring of Honor are trying to set some stuff up for us. We've reached out to a couple of people. I'm desperately trying to get Zack Sabre Jr. as well. But that might not happen before New York. I'm trying to make it happen in New York, basically, which is, I mean, just for me more than anything else. we could get him on. I think we should get him on talk radio and just talk about Brexit for half an hour. That's probably the way to go with him. The other big storyline, the other thing that's going to be more towards the main event side of things, is Kofi Daniel Bryan, which we think has been confirmed for WrestleMania. Have they actually put out like the graphic and everything on WWE? Is that a thing that's happened?
No. Obviously, you had Vince close the show on SmackDown saying, you know, essentially it was happening, but he's said a lot of different things before and then changed his mind. And I feel like the way it's been presented, there probably is another twist yet.
The way he said it as he got into the car was that he kind of went, he will be at Mania, and let's see if a B-plus player can beat, that can win the title or something. But he didn't actually say that was going to be the match. So, yeah. Hold on, they have put out, like, from the official WrestleMania account, they have put out a picture of Kofi and Daniel Bryan with the Mania sign in front of them. But, and these are, maybe I'm reading too much into this as a geek. With all the other matches, it has a little bit at the bottom which says, you know, Triple H putting his career on the line, or, you know, triple threat for the Raw Women's title or whatever. And there's nothing actually on the picture. So, yeah, I think there's probably another swerve to come. How did you feel about all the stuff that happened on SmackDown last night?
I mean, I don't know where to start, to be honest. As far as the show goes, you know, as soon as Charlotte was coming out to face Oscar, you knew that was a done deal. I didn't like, and I hope this isn't controversial, I didn't like the Miz Shane McMahon segment.
I was fine with it. I didn't like the randomly bringing out Sanity, Shelton Benjamin, one of the colognes. Like, that was all a bit weird. But
one of the colognes, like, exactly. Like, you know, it was just, so all of a sudden, Miz can beat up all the security and five WWE superstars. I just found that very hard to buy. And as we said earlier,
Miz can still be a great talker as a face, but he is much more believable as a wrestler as a heel.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't buy Miz, like, mucking everyone up. I'm sorry. So, to me, while the talking was kind of strong, and I knew that, you know, any Shane McMahon match at Mania needs to be like a no-holds-barred stipulation so that they can get creative, I knew, you know, I'm fine with that. I just didn't really like the, you know, not only the security guards, it's just very nonsensical. So, Shane McMahon.
What about the third gauntlet match in 3 months, though?
Oh, I mean, again, so although the premise is kind of tired to me at this point, I still think it was well done, annoyingly.
I thought it was better than the Kofi Kingston one last week, because they did something a bit different with the booking. There was still, you know, elements of it, you know, the way that the bar were eliminated and stuff. There were still bits of it which were along the exact lines you expected. But having the Rowan cat out with the table was great.
And I loved the Uso bit.
Yes.
I'll pop for that huge. And like you said, even the way that they beat Rowan with the table was awesome as well. And as you said, you know, more to your point, we were discussing this on WhatsApp yesterday about who might be the best in ring performer of the New Day, and you obviously going to bat for Xavier. And to be fair, what a performance he put on in that gauntlet match. I'm not just saying that from an athletic standpoint. In that Uso segment, his facials are fantastic. His selling ability. I think, you know, when Big E makes a tag to him at one point and he's on the apron and he looks exhausted, but then he makes you believe that he's really reaching for his last depths. Do you know what I mean? I just thought it was fantastic work. But, you know, equally, having said that, as I said to you in the past 6 weeks, I think Kofi Kingston, particularly inside the chamber, has put on performances that, not that I didn't believe, but that you perhaps hadn't had the chance to enjoy in such a long time.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, Kofi, I don't dislike Kofi Kingston by any stretch of the imagination. I do think that Xavier Woods, of the three, is the criminally underused and underrated. I think he's the best talker of the three. I also think he is, like, I love his selling, and I do like his work. I like his moveset. He's the kind of guy who, we were talking about, like, who would flourish if they left the WWE. He's the kind of guy you could imagine going into the indies and being incredible.
I really don't want to say this and be out of order, but I'm going to see what you think anyway. If you put Xavier Woods in Big E's body, is he a world champion by now?
I think so. Yeah, I really do. And do you know what? there's two things with this whole feud that I kind of wanted to raise at this point. The first thing is my concern that this is a great of-the-moment thing. And I like that WWE have listened to the crowd, and I like they've gone with the booking. And, you know, that's stuff we all beg for as fans, and that's great. I am concerned that Kofi Kingston, for as great as the work has been in the last few months, is a little bit one-dimensional in ring, and that the title reign might get stale quite quickly. Like, if he wins at Mania, great moment, but I wouldn't be that surprised to see him lose it at Money in the Bank, because fans are already a bit like, oh, we didn't really think about what happens post-Mania with this guy.
No, I get that, and I think that you have to take into an account as well of all these good performances. Standing across from him a lot of the time are fantastic workers, namely Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that has no doubt made the whole trip that much more special. And then you have to think about who you're going to partner Kofi with after that. It does become a bit tricky. I wouldn't be surprised if they put it back on Daniel Bryan by Money in the Bank. But, I'm happy, though, that, you know, the fact that Kofi's getting the match, because I was someone who wanted that, and I do think it'll be a cool moment. Everything that Kofi said in his promos are real. He really is a hard worker who has shown up, entertained us. 11 years, that's a really hard time to stay relevant and fresh, which I still find the New Day pretty fresh, you know.
Can I just put something forward, just as an idea? And this works kind of like, if I'm fantasy booking this, if I'm justifying this in my head, this kind of works well with what happened last night as well, because you've got the Usos, who right now, I know you've got the Bar and you've got other kind of heel tag teams. The Usos have been much more interesting as a heel tag team, but that was a real face move last night. And I think you can sell it either way. They can sell it as a respect thing, but they can still remain like a heelish team. And actually they can get away with it because it's such a unique occasion. But how about we see Kofi taking this opportunity for granted a little bit? Imagine the heat if Big E and Xavier turned on Kofi post-Mania. Imagine the heat.
Yeah, it'd be incredible, but I've spoken to the New Day as a collective and all of them individually, and I've never believed more that I don't think they'll ever break up. Honestly, I don't.
I know it's something that's very, very unlikely, but man, would it be good if it happened.
I think it leaves a lot on the table if they don't. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's, you look at any best friends per se, you know, like Triple H and Shawn Michaels were feuding for what, like 2-3 years in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And obviously they're best friends, but, you know, what's better than making money with your friends? It's, you know, and you could plausibly do that. Like a New Day triple threat for the WWE title. I mean, I'd watch it. Like, yeah. Anyone could win that match. Do you know what I mean? And although, okay, you take them out of that context and away from the storyline, and then, you know, then you have Xavier Woods versus AJ Styles, and it's less appealing because you know, it's hard to believe that Xavier Woods in his current billing would beat AJ. But
let me throw out another way of booking it then that maybe makes it more believable.
Okay.
Kofi blows the roof off Mania. Bryan gets a rematch at Money in the Bank. That happens. That's off to one side. But this proves that the New Day are commodities as individuals. And we get what we were meant to potentially have at Money, or there was certainly heavily rumoured at Money in the Bank last year, that we get a different member of New Day entering the Money in the Bank match. Now, throw in Kofi with the title, but Big E with the suitcase, with the case. Like, then you might be able to sell the angle a little easier, that it's not just, yeah, they've just turned on him for the sake of it. Like, there are ways of doing it, and I think you could go, if you want to keep the title on Kofi longer term, I think that's something I'd really like to see them do to make that happen.
But, yeah, me too. I'd like to see a triple threat where Kofi says, do you know what, you guys, remember at this point, he owes them. That's a very interesting layer to this story. He owes them. Like, without them, he doesn't get this opportunity. Say he wins the title, and then it's not like a bad blood thing, but then he says, look, us three, what we've always dreamt of, we should all fight for the title. Like, let's just fight each other for the title, and whoever wins, wins. But then you can't help but a little bit of tension creep in if someone beats Kofi. Do you know what I mean? And then it's, or, you know, or if someone uses different tactics, and then it kind of organically goes that way. I'd like to see that, not like a traditional turn, but I'd like to see Kofi say, this is what we always dreamt of, New Day, we've got all the power, let's fight for the title between ourselves, and then it kind of goes from there. I would like to see that.
We're gonna hear from Lisa Marie Veron coming up. A couple of other just bits of news we need to touch on. I mentioned the David Starr thing. Joan Jett playing Ronda Rousey's intro at WrestleMania has led to a very funny thing on Twitter, which is people campaigning for, because she also sings Do You Want to Touch Me, which is David Starr's in-ring theme when he comes out of promotions that are allowed to use credited music. And there's like this online thing to get her to perform at a David Starr show, which I think would be amazing. We had the thing that I didn't actually know had happened, Flip Gordon injuring himself at OTT out in Ireland, which means that he's going to be out for 4 to 6 months. Apparently a bucket handle meniscus tear. Now, Flip Gordon's still super young, isn't he? He's still 27. Maybe not super young. He's not like, you know, there are ridiculous talents like Tyler Bate coming through who are 20, 21, 22. But, you know, he's still really young.
Time is on his side. I couldn't believe the other day that Bray Wyatt is 31.
Yeah, it does make, it makes him younger than me. Sometimes I feel better about life. Which ruled him out of the G1 Supercard, but the G1 Supercard lineup. Like, I'm so pumped for the Saturday night. I really like that they're, like, I know WWE have done it on purpose because they didn't want to be going up against the show at Madison Square Garden. Like, NXT would have obviously still sold out and still been an incredible show. This whole idea that they've done it to make the Hall of Fame a bigger deal by having it the night before Mania, and to get fans in town on the Friday so they turn up for the Hall of Fame. I'm absolutely convinced it's all about Ring of Honor and New Japan putting on this show at Madison Square Garden.
Without a doubt. And by the way, with all due respect, looking at the NXT TakeOver card, I don't care what is on that Saturday, or what is on the same night as that. There should be only one show I'd be going to, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, the NXT, the TakeOver Brooklyn card on the Friday night. So they're going up against Impact and Lucha Underground are doing a show which has some decent names on it. But yeah, nothing is going to compare with that TakeOver show. And we'll get into that, I think, when we do a big preview next week and go through all the matches. It just looks great. It just looks legitimately fantastic. Is it TakeOver Brooklyn 5? Is that what they're calling it? It is important.
I didn't know if they'd put a numerical value on it.
They're calling it New York. Yeah, I didn't understand why they, like, this is, it's been TakeOver Brooklyn for 4 years and now they're randomly calling it TakeOver New York.
I guess, is it just a preface because Mania isn't, you know, because when they do SummerSlam in Brooklyn, do you know what I mean? It actually is in Brooklyn, but because Mania's not in Brooklyn, do you think they've just given it the widespread?
Yeah, maybe. But it's an incredible card, and I'm very excited about that. The G1 Supercard, so just to run down, New Japan, the finals happened this past weekend. If you've not seen it yet, close your ears for the next minute or so. But it's well worth a look. Okada beat Tomohiro Ishii in his semi-final. Tomohiro Ishii was the absolute superstar of this entire tournament for me. He didn't have a single match at less than 4 stars. He was brilliant. And then Sanada going over Tanahashi. They were in Sanada's hometown and Tanahashi weirdly kind of went like semi-heel for it, which I've never really seen Ace do before, and I absolutely loved it. Like, he just went heel enough to get the heat from the hometown crowd without having to kind of compromise his character. Both really good semi-finals. I wasn't pumped for Okada Sanada in the final because they've never had a particularly great match before. And it ended up being an absolute barnstormer. Like, really, really brilliant. And we get Okada against Jay White at G1 Supercard, which is the exact match I said last week was what I wanted to see. So I'm happy. I'm really happy.
What counts, Will. That's what we all care about.
So you've now got on that card. So with Flip Gordon gone, it's just going to be Rush against Dalton Castle in a singles match. Will Ospreay against Jeff Cobb, putting both titles on the line, the Never Open Weight and the Ring of Honor TV title. Bully Ray in a New York street fight against a to-be-announced opponent. Lots of rumours going around about who that's going to be. But the big ones are Jay Lethal, Marty Scurll and Matt Taven, triple threat for the Ring of Honor World Championship. They've announced that Kota Ibushi is going to face Tetsuya Naito for the Intercontinental, that Tanahashi is going to go up against Zack Sabre Jr. for the British Heavyweight, and that it's going to be Okada Jay White. So essentially the top 4 matches on the card couldn't be announced until the New Japan Cup was finished. And they're all matches which could have headlined the card. Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So, I'm pumped, as you can tell.
Shall we get to our good friend Lisa Marie?
Yeah, take a little break, and then we'll be back with Lisa Marie Veron. It's a nice, long, rambling It kind of got a little out of control at one point. It's fine. It's really good fun.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards?
Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you listening to the Pro Wrestling Show? Will Gavin A. Mack is with me. And let's hear now our interview with Lisa Marie Veron. You may have known her from her time in Impact, from her time in WWE, a champion in both. She's on her retirement tour this year. You'll hear we're determined to get her out to the UK before the year is out. As part of that, I have legitimately been trying to encourage promoters out here to try and book her and get her out here. I've spoken to two already, but this was a really good fun chat, and she's much like Vicky Guerrero. You know, you get book these things up and you know you're getting 10-15 minutes and you're like, I hope they're lovely, and it went on for like half an hour and she was an absolute delight. So here is Lisa Marie Veron. Absolutely delighted to welcome on to the show. If you're a WWE fan, you'll know as Victoria, maybe Tara. If you're a fan of TNA or Impact, two-time women's champion, a five-time knockouts champion, Lisa Marie Veron, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you so much. And it's an honor to be part of your show. And I miss the UK. I haven't been in a while.
When were you last over?
Gosh, a year maybe? A little bit over, but...
Well, honestly,
I couldn't even tell you.
It's not good enough. We need to get you back over ASAP.
You're right. Right, exactly.
Well, what are you up to at the moment? What's your schedule looking like right now?
As for today or for this year?
No, just in general. What are you up to? What's life for Lisa Marie Veron right now?
Well, I am living the beautiful life in San Diego. It's truly paradise. And I'm doing my farewell tour. December will be my last month's wrestling. I'll be doing signings as well, still, because I'm a Comic Con geek and nerd. So I still like to do those just for selfish reasons. But I'm 48, and my body doesn't recover as quick as when I was younger. So I thought it'd be, you know, go out on top and still be able to kick some ass in the ring and let people remember still that I could still wrestle a little bit.
So how much are you working over this year?
I've been getting booked quite a lot this year since it's my farewell. So everybody's, a lot of the independents are reaching out because they want me to, wrestle their new talent and, showcase some of their girls, you know, and I've been doing a lot of intergenders, believe it or not. I'm not a big intergender wrestling gal, but those are exciting. I'll be honest with you. I wish I did more of those in the past, but it's amazing wrestling guys because they can, you know, I get to do the pretty moves. Usually I'm the base of all the wrestling moves, and now these guys are bigger than I am, and I'm like, ooh, I can do all my fun things, my fun moves, you know, I used to do when I started. So it's exciting.
It's really funny you say that. I was talking with, I don't know how closely you follow any of the NXT stuff or the NXT UK stuff, but Rhea Ripley, who was recently the NXT UK champion, she is the best base I've seen in years because, like, the amount of great moves that she can help someone else pull off is fantastic. But I was just like, don't you get a bit frustrated that it's not you that gets to, you know, go and do the head scissors, go and whirl around people, go and do that stuff?
You know, I'm happy to be the base. When I first started wrestling, I wanted to be a flyer because I was a gymnast growing up, and dance and, you know, all this acrobatics and stuff like that, until I got into the ring and I was like, yeah, this girl would rather be the base because it's so dangerous to do the flying moves. So many risks because you have to rely on the person catching you. So, you know, that was my forte. All the girls that were little got to do their pretty moves and I made them look good. And yeah, it takes two to tango, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. You need a match can't be all good because of one person. So you're the one making everyone else look good, and that's sometimes the real hero.
Yeah. Thank you. But you're only as good as your opponent. So I don't want to take full credit. You know, I've been lucky to wrestle such amazing talent, and now since I've been doing these indies a lot. The future of this, the wrestling revolution, these girls that are coming up are spectacular. Oh my, I can barely keep up with them because they do so much in the ring. I'm a little bit more old school style. I like to, tell a story with my body language and my facial expressions, opposed to moves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it's safer that way.
It's interesting you mention the intergender stuff because it is a constant conversation. It's quite common and quite popular over here in the UK. You see quite a few of the bigger indie promotions here run into gender wrestling, whether it's tag, whether it's actual singles matches. But it has felt like when I've done stuff either with the major promotions or out with the indies in the US, that there still is a little bit of a stigma around it, it feels.
Okay, you know, when I first started watching some of the intergender things, I used to cringe because back in my day, you know, if I got hit by a guy, we were told, you sell it, you know, if a guy hits me in the face, I'm knocked out for the entire match, you know? So, it's quite a change that, I had to teach myself that, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Chikara Pro, that organization. The guy, Mike Quackenbush, gave a speech before, his shows and he, you know, instilled like, you know, just because you're a girl, we're all equal here, girls and boys. We don't have any, someone better than the other. And then it kind of changed my mind. And his speeches before his show were so inspirational. I was just, like I said, I would do anything for that organization because he just made you feel like on top of the world and dominant and appreciated all the talent. And even if you were the first match, the last match, we're all equal. So it was such a great inspirational speech he gave. Oh my gosh, I'm telling you,
that's very
amazing.
Cool.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's great.
It is cool.
So
yeah,
obviously you're doing a lot of the indie stuff this year. What kind of, I know you said it was about your body, when did you kind of make that decision that you were going to announce your retirement, and actually that led to you getting booked a load more apparently?
I believe it was maybe 4 months ago. I came back from a show that I just wrestled one match. And I felt like I got hit by a train. I was so sore. Went to a chiropractor and get massage. And I talked to ODB. She was from TNA every single day. And we were both just going, oh, my, it's incredible. Because these girls have upped the matches so much. Like the dangerous moves they do. The bigger bumps, and just to get a reaction, I was just like, I couldn't turn my head. And I was like, you know what? For me, I want people to still remember that, you know, I can still, you know, kind of keep up with the new talent. But I don't want them to feel sorry for me. You know how when you see some old timers walk to the ring, you're like, oh my gosh, what happened? Remember how, you know, they used to be so invincible back in the day. I don't want my fan base or my followers to see any weakness. So that's when I was like, you know, I better go out while I still have the move and I can still move. And I don't want to be, you know, in my 50s and not be able to walk. And I still want to enjoy, you know, everyday life, you know, like I want to go skiing. I want to learn how to surf. And then, you know, being a wrestler, you know, I remember people were like, hey, do you want to go jet skiing? Do you want to go do this? And I go, oh, no, no, I can't. I go, if I get hurt, I can't wrestle. So, you know, you have to pick and choose what you really want to do, you know, in life, because it always falls back, like, is this going to affect my wrestling? You know, because this is not a 24, it's not just a 9-to-5 job. It's a 24/7 job that everything you do will affect wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. It's funny you mentioned ODB, because she was out at the Super Bowl this year. I love the idea that you and her are talking about, oh, isn't it tough nowadays, not feeling like I used to. And then she did a bar brawl at the Super Bowl, which was one of the most brutal things I've seen in a very long time. So,
she said she had a blast. She said, she goes, oh my gosh, girl, you should do these. And I go, well, that's kind of an ODB thing with your flask and, you know, her character and stuff like that. You know, her character's not very different than what she is in real life. I don't know if you're aware of that. So, you know, she's one of my favorite opponents to get in the ring with, because her and I, you know, if things go haywire in there, or some accidents happen, we know the show must go on, and her and I would rather have fun in matches than actually, you know, doing some crazy ass move. You know what I mean? Her and I are more storytellers and try to involve the fans as much as possible. You know, anytime we can get out of the ring and then mingle with the fans or incorporate them in our match, that's what we like to do. You know, the fans will walk away going, wow, I was part of that show. Do you know what I mean? So it's her and I have a little bit of a different mentality when it comes to wrestling, you know, and she's like, you know, I don't have anything booked in the before December with her, and I would like one of my matches to be with her, you know, before I retire.
Have you got an idea of how you'd like to go out? Is there a show, a promotion? Is there someone that you'd really like to work for come December to, you know, do your finale?
You know, probably Tommy Dreamer is House of Hardcore. We're like best friends, and his organization's remarkable. I had Candice Michelle, her retirement match was with me at House of Hardcore, and you know, he lets you do anything you want, and he knows about our characters, and you know, he has a lot of feedback on, I think you should do this, and he's very giving, you know, very, very giving, and you want to work with somebody that really appreciates your talent and also has been there to hold your hand the whole time. You know, he's always been there, always gave me advice on my career, and always has been a friend, actually, outside, not just wrestling, but in normal day stuff. You know what I mean? If I have any problem, he's always there that I can call. He's one of my good friends, one of my, like a brother. Also Chavo Guerrero too. That's another organization. Lucha Underground might be another one too, you know, because a lot of my friends are part of that organization, and it's in Los Angeles, and that maybe my family would be able to come out and watch my finale, you know.
I mean,
it's always nice to have family. It's so nice to have family watch you. You know, you kind of step up your game, which sounds terrible, you know, that you're like, you should be stepping up your game for the fans. But when your family's there, you want to kind of, you know, them to go, okay, I'm still proud of her that she chose this career opposed to going to medical school. You know, so
it's funny, like you say that, because it's one of those professions. Like, if you think of, like, I can remember speaking to like stand up comics and musicians, and they always talk about, like, if their family's there, they feel so weirdly nervous compared with, they could be performing in front of 5,000 people, whatever, but the moment it could be 50 people, but if their family are in there, they feel so much more nervous, so much more kind of
nervous,
pensive about it. But it sounds like you're up for it. You seem down for it.
I would be down for it, but I'll be honest with you. I get extremely nervous when my brothers are there, because, you know, they didn't really follow wrestling growing up. And I remember when I told my family, you know, I'm going to try this wrestling thing out. You know, I said, it's probably going to be 3-month career, you know, because I still want to go to school and finish, you know, my education and stuff like that. And it bit me in the butt. It you know, it's a cult. Once you get bit by this industry, there's no retirement, to be honest with you. Never say retire, you know, obviously, because we see a lot of old timers come back, you know, they never can get out of the business, because it's just, it's in our blood. Do you know what I mean? And that the adrenaline rush you get from performing and being part of such a great business, and, you know, just being your own stunt person as well as a bad actress, than I am, you know, whenever you can, you know, it's a tough business. And the longer you last, I mean, it's just, it's part of you forever.
I think what I find so like intoxicating about it, when you come away from just being the mark, the guy in the audience, which I have been for many years, but kind of when started covering it, it's how much like you speak with such fondness about the people that you've met over the years, whether it's Tommy Dreamer, Chavo Guerrero, you know, ODB, and it is how much of a family atmosphere it is and how supportive it is. I think anyone who really gets into the scene outside of the major brands will just, that's the side of things I fall in love with.
It is. And, people ask me, do you watch the product? I don't watch the product very much. I'm more, I like to watch wrestling live. And I got addicted to watching the indie scene and the passion that, you know, these people get, $25 to wrestle. And then they're willing to do anything to get the reaction from the fans. And it is a family because, you know, we're on the road over 300 days a year, and we're together 24/7. And so we're with them more so than our own family. And, you know, we have sacrificed so much, like missing birthdays, anniversaries, you know, deaths in the family, Christmas and, you know, all the holidays. It's our family becomes wrestling, you know, and I always say this, you know, they tell you family comes first, but they didn't tell you family is wrestling, you know?
Yeah. It's really interesting. I think, it's lovely. It's a really lovely thought. And there's actually someone I wanted to ask you about in particular, because we had the announcement in the last few weeks that D-Generation X are going to be going into the WWE Hall of Fame. And of course, that means finally recognizing China and having China go into the Hall of Fame. And I know, from reading about and hearing you talk about in the past, that she had a big influence on you getting involved in wrestling. So I really wanted to get your thoughts on that and about the fact she's finally being kind of recognized on that grand stage.
Yeah, when I heard that, you know, of course I found out through social media, because that's how I find out all my news. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, thank God. And so I posted something about, we've never wrestled. We never got in the ring together. We just did a couple backstage segments together. And when I posted that, a lot of people were going, you know, it's a shame that she's not getting, you know, recognized on her own. And they're inducting her with the DX. But, you know, the way I look at it, you know, there's so many people that need to be inducted. At least she's given it recognition, and the fans, they know, you know, that she, you know, they give her the support and love, and we all know that she deserves to be recognized on her own, but at least she's getting into the Hall of Fame. And then when I heard out, you know, like my best friend, Tori Wilson, getting inducted, I heard way before she called me and told me about it. And she said, please don't tell anybody. And I didn't. And I'm super proud of her. She's such an inspirational girl. She's very down to earth, sweet. She treats her fans with respect, and now, you know, she's still like living the fitness life and, you know, encouraging people to get in shape and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I couldn't be more proud for Tori to do it, you know, to be inducted.
It's really,
you know?
And Tori was, I didn't realize you two were close now, but yeah, she is, I think she's really deserving as well. And I think when you say about China, the reason I think it highlights to me how important she is that they announced that DX are going in and nobody's talking about X-Pac or Triple A or Paul or Sean. They're all talking about China when it happens. So it just shows that even though she's maybe not going in under her own steam, most people believe she deserves
right.
to do.
Right. And then she's the vocal point on that induction.
Exactly.
Too. Like everybody is recognizing they're in her shadow, being inducted, I think, well deserving. And finally, it's about time she gets inducted. You know, she made it okay for, like, you know, girls that have an athletic build and a little more masculine looking to be okay and still looked as being sexy and still being a dominant woman and a powerful woman that's independent and doesn't need a guy to raise her to her level. You know what I mean? She made it okay for us to go, you know, I don't look like that stick figure model, and it's okay. You know, you embrace your curves and, you know, being unique.
Yeah.
She made it okay to be unique.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The other person I watched, this happens a lot when I work on the kind of overnight show. I end up going into these YouTube rabbit holes, of course. And when Kathy, who kind of set up our chat, who you work with, said that like you'd be available to talk to, I ended up going and looking at some stuff, and I saw some really lovely bits that you've done in more recent times with Molly Holly, who obviously you had so much interaction with at the time within the WWE, and that relationship still seems pretty strong now as well.
Yeah, there's not like one person that I, you know, the people in my generation, we're tight still. We've been through a lot together, you know, ups and downs and family problems. And who do you talk to is the locker room. And, you know, Molly Holly is one of those giving individuals in the ring. She gave me, you know, Roderick Strong came up with the Widow's Peak and showed me, I have a finisher for you. You're a big girl. You could pick up all the girls. And that's the important part of your finisher. You should be able to do it to everybody. And she taught me that. And it put me on the map. It was such a devastating finisher that, thank God that she saw Roderick Strong do it. Both those two people put me as, you know, I'm one of the top 10 finishers, and it wasn't my doing. It was, you know, because of giving people in wrestling industry that want to help you out, you know what I mean? And not be so selfish, even though it is a selfish industry, you know, because you have to promote yourself. You know, you are your self promoter. You're your own boss, kind of, sort of. And when you have other people, you know, helping you out, here, you should do this, you should do that. It's, you know, it's very respectful. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's very lovely.
Has Roderick Strong ever spoken to you about the Widow's Peak?
I remember him waiting for me. I think he was maybe 13 years old at a hotel lobby. And he goes, Victoria. And I go, hey, what's up, buddy? You know, yeah, lobbies, hotel lobbies, you have a lot of fans. Find out where you're mm-hmm. staying, and they get there and just want to take a picture. And he goes, I'm Roderick Strong. I'm the one that came up with your finisher. And I go, oh my God, thank you so much. I go, you put me on the map. Oh my God, thank you so much. And he was, I think he didn't expect that reaction, but he knows. I always tag him. If someone asks me, where'd you get the finisher? I always plug him and Molly Holly.
It's great as well that that happened back then, and then he's now in there on NXT and will be main roster, I'm sure, soon enough. Like their gimmick that those guys have got with him and with Adam Cole and with Kyle O'Reilly as well is unbelievable. I think they're an amazing stable, and I love that that's way like back then and when he was 13, and now he's there doing his thing on WWE, and it's again, it's just that cyclical thing. And I don't know if you've seen
it?
Yeah, 100%.
It's also like, it's also too, it's, you know, when you see these guys perform on the indie scene, like now when I'm going to all these indies, I'm like, this roster is unbelievable. I just did a show with Beyond Wrestling, and I've never done an independent where the fans, they don't have a seat, and they're surrounding the ring, and they get to pound on it and interact, you know, that are right there, right up to the ring. And, every person I saw wrestle at that weekend, I could not believe how great this talent was. I was just like, all these people should be signed. And when you see back in the day, you know, Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, you know, all these amazing, you know, Ricochet, all these people, you're like, wow, they should have been signed a long time ago. That's how good they are, you know?
And it's really funny. You, NXT do shows here in the UK at Download Festival, which is like a heavy metal music festival. And we went down there, and they have like their own tent and their own stage, and it is, and now there's the NXT UK brand. They're going to be filming shows there, which is amazing. But we went kind of back to Gorilla and did a few interviews back there with a few of the guys. And what's really funny is seeing like Ricochet's back there and Aleister Black's back there and these guys, and they've all obviously known each other for like 15 years, but the world is only kind of becoming familiar with them now that they're in WWE. But these guys have, you know, they've wrestled dozens, if not hundreds of times against each other
before. They have more experience than the people that are in the industry already. And you're right, they have way more experience. A lot of these, when I go to these indie shows, I was like, how long have you been wrestling? And they've been wrestling longer than I have. And I go, what? Oh my God. And well, it's shocking, you know, no wonder they're so good. And, you know, in the indie scene, you know, you could, you're free to do a lot of things on your own, you know, and put the match together instead of having someone saying, hey, we want this as a finisher. We want this. They're free to do what they want. And so they get to express what they see as their character, and they're kind of more in control, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really neat to see, like, yeah, all these new guys that they started together, you know, when they were teenagers, and now they got brought up together. So it's neat to see that.
100%. You know? You mentioned the kind of what the modern women are doing, both in the indies and in the WWE. And when you see the kind of the women's revolution and, you know, all these firsts, the first women's tag titles, the first Hell in a Cell, the first, all these things that they're doing kind of in the main products, do you look at that with real pride and think about, you know, when you took part in the first hardcore match, for example?
Yes. It's incredible because I had a lot of firsts. A lot of my whole career was like first cage match. We had a hardcore match, Trish and I, Chicago Street Fight. It was all these firsts, and it got scary. I'll be honest with you. Every time I would go to TV, I'm like, oh my God, what are they going to have me do this time? Because it got, you know, they were pushing the envelope so much. And then Sid Finley was the guy in charge of us girls that made us such badasses and made us work like men. They, you know, there was a point where we had to go back to having a little bit of a wardrobe malfunctions, pulling the hair because we were starting to work too much like the guys, and we had to scale back a little bit. But yeah, I'm proud. Like when you see the girls, you're like, oh my gosh, what do they have to do now? And they're working them to death. You know, it's not just, you know, Raw and SmackDown. They're also doing the Total Divas. You know, not getting many days off to recover, and and don't forget, they have to look pretty and look the part and still stay skinny and shape and keep up with their skin, and you know what I mean? So it's a lot of pressure, and you know, it's nice that they're getting the recognition now, you know, compared to what back in the day, you know. So you are proud. You almost feel like a mom or a grandma.
Hey, no, we'll say mom. It's fine. We can stay there. What was that like, that first steel cage match with Lita? Because that was, I remember it to this day. It was like so out of what could have been expected at the time.
Yes. And I remember we were told back then, this is probably telling too much and telling the magic, but we weren't allowed to use the cage so much, you know? And we're like, well, why do we have a cage match if we're not allowed to use it? And I remember going to Vince McMahon and said, you know, I wanted to gig, which means, you know, that's our term for cutting yourself in the forehead and, you know, bleeding for the show. And Vince, you know, said, I appreciate that, but no one wants to see a diva bleed. And I remember telling Lita, throw me as hard as you can against the cage. I'm going to try to cut myself the hard way, which means our term is real, the real way. And I didn't know how to do it, so I just ended up, you know, I guess you're supposed to hit it and then scrape down so the cage scrapes you open. I hit it so hard, I got a lump. I didn't bleed at all. And I remember, like, gosh, it was so surreal walking out and seeing the cage like that. It's so intimidating. And the fear and all the nerves. I'm one person, you can ask any person, even to this day, I want to throw up before matches. I get really bad nervous belly. I start shaking and my hands sweat. I guess it's, I care too much about matches where, there's, you know, it's always a scary feeling. You want the fans to walk away going, wow, that was a freaking awesome match. Not for a women's match. I just want them to say that was an awesome match. You know, that was scary. I remember that. And oh my gosh. And you know, a lot of things can go wrong in those kind of matches. And, just there's a lot of pressure, you know, a lot of the injuries, and you know, you feel, I'm very honored that I had the chance to do it, and they put so much you know, faith in me to do those kind of matches, but it was also terrifying.
It's really interesting you say about the getting color stuff, because you think about, and like, I know you said you don't watch a huge amount of the product at the moment, but the current angle, which may go on to headline WrestleMania or should go on to headline WrestleMania with Becky Lynch, there's now that very iconic moment where, okay, it was an accident that she got busted open, but there is that image of her in the ring with the bloodied face, which is now all over T-shirts, which is now, you know, and it's become like her stone cold Bret Hart moment almost, and just how, like, it's a weird way to show development, but it just shows again how people's perceptions have changed.
Yeah, and it's scary because once you get busted open, now they kind of almost expect you to do it in a lot of matches, which is not a good thing. You know what I mean? It's just you know that it's just so dangerous, and it's. When I watch it now, it's like, what are the fans are going to react? What do we have to do to get them to stand up and cheer? You know, now it's not just a chair shot. It's all these other factors. You know, now when you just wrestle, they're kind of sitting on their butt going, okay, that's okay. They're grappling. And then you're like, oh gosh, now I have to step it up just to get them to stand on their feet and get into it. You know what I mean? So,
but I think that's where you get, like, you said about the storytelling. I think that's where you get the really good storytellers, when you can get two girls, two guys, a guy and a girl even, like we were saying earlier, who can go in there, have a straight wrestling match, and they get the crowd going and they win them over. And that's, you know, I think that's the best kind of reaction. Those are the ones that, without any gimmicks, without any, you know.
Yes.
Those are the matches I love
the
most.
Someone asked me, like, yeah, me too. I do. I like the storytelling too. It's. I think it's lacking. You know, today, because it's a spot fest. It's, you know, all these spots, move, and you can't digest it. It's too much going on, and you're always waiting for that reaction for them to stop and go, oh, wow, that was incredible. You know what I mean? And it's that's why I was like, when I watch these, they don't have to do half of the stuff to get the fans, if they're good storytellers with just a normal match. And someone asked me, what would you want as part of your last match? Would you like another hardcore match? I go, not really. I like normal, just normal wrestling and doing my old school stuff, getting my signature stuff, and then showing the girl that she could, I'm passing the torch. You know, a lot of people are asking me, you know, this last match I had, they wanted the girl to go over on me. And I was like, no. I was like, let her beat me. And they're like, really? And I go, I'm not looking to go back. This girl, you know, is the next generation. Let her beat somebody, you know, have a couple wins under her belt. Even though it's entertainment, don't get me wrong. But let her get the, you know, hooray at the end. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's really important.
I think they were shocked about that. I do too.
You see it, the very best put people over when they get to that stage in their career. That's part of what the job is, almost.
Exactly. And it makes me laugh when people are like, oh, you don't mind losing? And I go, you realize this is entertainment. You know, this is not real like MMA where I need to be the champion. Do you know what I mean? It's we are entertainment. It's you know, when you watch movies, you know, the guy dies at the end or something. You're like, you think they ask him, do you mind dying at the end? This is a movie. Do you know what I mean? It's crazy to me. You know, that people are so like, oh, I got to win. I'm just like, that's so selfish of you.
look, Lisa, you've been so kind with your time. I really appreciate it. I do want to finally ask about, has there ever been a point where you've been near a return to either WWE or to the guys at Impact?
No, and I don't have any control over that. People are always asking me, why weren't you in the Rumble? And I'm like, you know, it's not, I don't pick up the phone and say, hey, I want to be a part of this. You have to be invited. It's, there's a lot of, you know, hurdles. It's not my choice of not going back or anything like that. It's not that I would say I would never go back, because I'm never going to say that, because you see, you know, Ric Flair coming back several times. You know what I mean? Not to say I'm comparing myself to him, but, you know.
It's going to be the headline now, Lisa. It's going to be Lisa Marie Veron, I am the women's Ric Flair. Just so you know, that's the way we're going to label everything.
Okay. or or you could say I'm Lisa Marie, I'm the Undertaker, because I was like, I had all these favorites that I watched. But when I first started, I studied Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat matches.
Great.
And those were the psychology I enjoyed, and how they can go an hour, a Broadway match, without getting exhausted, and then people still standing up after an hour match. That's talent, you know, that's the gift, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I think 100%. Look, Lisa, it has been a legitimate pleasure, and we talked about Tory and China and everyone else. You should be getting that phone call at some point in the not too distant future, as far as we're concerned, and you should try and get over here if you can before the end of the year, because I think the British Indies would welcome someone coming over, doing a bit of storytelling, and a legend coming and showing what they can still do.
Well, thank you, Will. I appreciate that. Let's get that out there on your show.
Oh, we will.
It'll happen.
Don't you worry. I'm going to start texting anyone I know in any way in the industry and going, you know who would be good to get over to do a show?
Seriously. Yeah. Honestly, there's a lot of talented girls in the UK that I admire, and I've always wanted to wrestle. And, you know, there's so many great girls out there that I never even got in the ring with. And so... I would be honored to face some of these girls in England. Honestly, they're so talented, and you guys really appreciate the grappling part, and you know, the old style kind of wrestling, which I appreciate. You know,
Lisa, are you going to be last question? Are you going to be around WrestleMania weekend? Are you doing WrestleCon or any of those?
I am. I am going to be doing WrestleCon. I was going to go to Chicago Cubs game, but when I found out Tori was being inducted, you know, kind of changed my mind about going, and kind of support her. So I will be partaking in the WrestleCon, and I think I'll be Tori's date, maybe.
well, look, we'll come and try and find you when we're out there in New York, and try and have a catch up there.
Oh, but wonderful.
Lisa, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Will. Have a good day.
And you. Long old podcast today, eh, Mac? I know you've got to get back to, you know, dealing with your cold, your man flu. So
and your day job.
And your day job, of course, as well. So before we sign off, any final thoughts, buddy?
Yeah, a few. A few I want to get off my chest.
Here we go.
So we were talking about Raw earlier. So, yeah, I know that I said that I didn't really enjoy the Beat the Clock. What they're doing with the Revival is really grating me. I don't understand. I don't think they've actually won a match since they became champions, which heading into Mania season makes them not credible in any kind of way. And I don't see how that's bringing up the tag team division in any kind of way. And you know, Ricochet and Aleister Black are an entertaining team. But that doesn't mean I have to see them go over the tag team champions twice and then, you know, what's the point of that? Like, two non-title victories, but you're not champions. The logic just evades me. Also, it looks like Finn Balor's going to end up turning up and being the demon at WrestleMania. What does that really mean against Bobby Lashley,
Nothing.
Who he's fought like 1,000 times since the Royal Rumble or Elimination Chamber, whenever that first happened? What a meteoric waste that would be. He's beaten Bobby Lashley without the demon. What does it mean? It's lost on me, Will. It's really lost on me. And finally, I understand. I've said all of these things on Twitter. I understand the rub of mainstream celebrities coming on WrestleMania. You know, when we're talking about, you know, Ali, Mike Tyson, Mayweather, all of those things. Great. You know, there's no denying the impact that can have on anyone who's associated with them and Mania itself. Partnering Braun Strowman with two guys from Saturday Night Live is not that kind of rub, despite what anyone says. And it is a tremendous waste of someone like Braun Strowman, who, to a lot of fans, and don't get me wrong, he's not going to wrestle circles around people like Daniel Bryan or AJ Styles, but he's been primed to have a big breakout moment for like 2 years. And yet he keeps getting saddled with whatever this is. Like, okay, he's probably going to win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal or lose it to one of these Saturday Night Live people as some kind of hilarious WrestleMania moment. But I personally don't see the value in it.
The worst part of it is that by having the Saturday Night Live people in it, there's a risk it's going on the main show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not risk. I think it is. And like I said,
I am going to buy beer.
I've got a real dirty feeling one of them will win it. Honestly, I do.
Do you know what? I kind of hope they do, and it turns into such a ridiculous moment that they end up just being like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do this anymore.
Maybe we went too far, finally.
Yeah.
We were obviously in the crowd in New Orleans last year, and there was actually quite a lot of anticipation for Braun Strowman's partner. It was like, who's going to, you know, a lot of people had thought it was Bobby Lashley. It was clear that he had signed a WWE deal. We ended up getting him the next night. But that night it was like, oh yeah. And then now here's a 9-year-old. And it was like, I know it was kind of when Strowman went to give him the hot tag, that was kind of cool. But other than that, the whole match, it just deflated everyone. And I feel like Strowman is not really being set up to succeed at all.
No, you're absolutely right. It's a disgrace, mate. It's an absolute joke.
Let's just say that. It's a bloody disgrace. And I really hate being negative about the business. I really do. And I remember after I tweeted about four things yesterday, I thought, Jesus, whoever's reading this must think I'm the grumpiest fan of all time. But it's just...
I couldn't help myself on Pro Wrestle Show last night when they did two adverts during the... two... long adverts during
and
that women's
match. It was a
great
match. It really was. I didn't really get to see it.
I figured it out later that we lost nearly 40% of the match to adverts. Now, admittedly, the longer of the two adverts had them in the screen-in-screen thing, but nearly 40% of a match that was a title match that was as good as it was, what a joke.
You have to wonder. Sometimes when I look back on the Raws and Smackdowns, if you ever watch them on the network, there's not nearly as much. Like, certainly not mid-match. I don't know when that became commonplace. And I don't know if this means WWE are greedy or not, but it's bloody annoying.
There was a very, very funny moment on last night on Raw on Monday, which I was unintentionally funny, when Trips, my buddy Trips, said,
extraordinaire.
Came off the back of the ad break and went, wow, thank you so much for giving me a standing ovation throughout that entire ad break. And like, he was being genuine about it, but it just made you go, yeah, because you've just made them all listen to your theme tune for 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes while we've been watching adverts for Burger King, and you've just been walking around the ring and raising your fist in the air. And it just, yeah, that's when to put an ad break, when the Miz is coming out to the ring. Yeah.
Have you got any quick thoughts on Trips and Batista before we wrap this up?
No, we'll get more into it next week. It's been a long old show, and people, fair play for slogging through it. Tune in to TalkSport if you listen to this on Wednesday, tomorrow morning, 6:45 a.m. and we'll tweet out the listen again link, and I'm sure Big AMAC will be taking any wrestling lines from the interview and popping them up on the TalkSport website as well, at talksport.com/WWE. You can find us on Twitter at Pro Wrestle Show. We're on Instagram at the same, but we don't really use it. Maybe I'll use it to do some Insta stories while we're out of Mania this year.
Please do.
So we'll do, there'll be loads of cool stuff going on. We'll be back with another show at the start of next week, and then it's WrestleMania, so we haven't figured out how that's all going down yet. But I'm trying to talk Sam into doing a pissed podcast with me at like 1 a.m. back at our Airbnb straight after the show. But once we've sat through 7 hours, we might not be able to do it, so we'll have to see how it goes. Anyway, cheers, AMAC. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Pro Wrestling Show.
Thanks, guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.